Hey, Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain.
Hey, glad you're joining the podcast. You know, a lot of people have to listen to the old terrestrial radio.
Like the old days. Like the olden days.
Not this group. Podcast. Thanks.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hansen McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hansen McClain's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hansen.
Pat McClain.
Thanks for joining us on this weekend. Of course, you could be listening to it on podcasts. So thanks for joining us whenever. But this program is a financial program. Both myself and my co-host here, we are both financial advisors. We spend our Monday through Friday meeting with people like yourself. And we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. Our objective is to help you make wise choices with your finances. For many people, it's planning for retirement is a important thing for them. And
some people, it's college planning.
Yeah.
Saving for your kid's retirement or...
saving for your kid's retirement.
Well, that's if you do it right, they're going to get educated.
Do you really want to save for your kid's retirement?
If you do it right and they get educated, then they'll be able to save for
their retirement. I think most of us want to make sure our kids, that there's some safety net for our kids, some sort of security.
Well, mostly you want to make sure they're happy.
Who was I talking to?
I give up.
As a friend of mine's kid, I say kid because a recent college grad, they were working at a Lamborghini dealership in Southern California. Lamborghinis. Right?
What's he doing there?
I would imagine kind of grunt type stuff.
Okay.
Right? Then they said they said that it's probably not going to the job they don't want for the long term, but it's been a little bit interesting. But they said they can really tell the difference between those who've made the money and are buying a Lamborghini and those who had inherited the money and buying a Lamborghini. That's what I said. How? They said, well, those that have made the money are usually very appreciative. They feel that this is they feel like it's a wonderful opportunity for them that they can buy this Lamborghini. They're nice to everybody. They said the people that buy the Lamborghini with the inherited money typically have an attitude. They said just by the way they approach, they can tell that person made the money, that person inherited the money. So like I said, most people don't want to really enrich their kids. They want some sort of safety net. But anyway, this program, we're both financial advisors, practicing advisors here with my co-host.
Meeting people with people just like yourself.
Been doing this program for over 20 years, broadcast out of Northern California. We've been on KPK in Sacramento for over 20 years. We've been on KGO in the Bay Area, San Francisco, for roughly a year. But since January 1st, we've been in Southern California and on the Patriot in Southern California, COGO in San Diego, and KOA in Denver. So those are the stations we're on.
So if you're new to us, thank you for listening.
Podcast. And glad you're with us. I was talking to one of our advisors this week. We've got a number of advisors. And it was interesting because I'm having this conversation with him. And he dealt with a client situation. He says, you know, Scott, something needs to change in our country. Something needs to be changed about retirement. He says, it is just not healthy for people to retire at 55. And we've had this hold this mindset of people, as soon as you have enough money to retire, it's just not healthy, right? So I started talking to him, and he's just was share with me this the number of clients he has that retired because they had the financial resources to retire.
Which is one part of the retirement process.
But didn't really plan for what their life is going to be like during retirement. And we were talking about this, and I started thinking, it's really interesting. I saw there's someone who has a commercial on television. I forget what the company, but they looked at retirement it was like the goal line. I don't know if it was a race. It was like a race. And as soon as they hit the retirement, it was like, yay, we've reached retirement.
You're over.
Like the race is over. It was some sort of race. And that was the finish line.
Retirement was
the finish line. I'm thinking, I don't really quite agree with retirement being the finish line.
Most of our clients, the ones that appear to be the happiest, are the ones that are actually engaged in lots of different things, either charities or social or sporting or many of them, a combination of all of those as well as some part-time work. Not because they need to, it's because they want to.
It's interesting. So at Hansen McClain, we have roughly 4,000 households that we work with and 4,000 families, and the majority are retired. Or at least that age, but we clearly, and there's been a bit of a shift over the years. And I think a lot of people are looking at
more positive.
You know, it's
positive
even in my own family, Pat. My stepfather, 74 or so. My mother's 76. Both working full time. Not because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the finances are in fine shape. They're doing it because they had a job opportunity. And they're really they went back to work. They're having a ball.
Good for them.
They said, and I said, when are you going to think you're going to retire again? Because they're actually living in a different place during this time. I don't know. We don't know. We're just having a good time. It's
good.
And we see that a lot with clients as well. We also see, I remember talking to someone he was an executive of a company, had a lot of people working for him, made large decisions, was a clear leader, hard-charging kind of person, worked hard, lent many hours, retired. Part of it, I think there was a retirement offer that was kind of a
carrot?
Big carrot. It's kind of like...
There was no stick, but mostly carrot.
Yeah, it was like sometimes, and so it's what happens sometimes. We've seen a lot of people like that. They get this, they're at retirement age. They don't necessarily want to retire, but they get this retirement offer that's like kind of too good to pass up. It's like you'd almost be working free for a few years.
So you leave.
So I was talking to this gentleman, and he'd been retired maybe 10 years ago, maybe more than that now. And he said, part of me really regrets retiring when I did.
Really?
Yeah. He just says, it's not that I don't enjoy retirement. He says, I love the time I spend with my grandkids. But he says, what I had at work, I haven't been able to find outside of work.
Oh. That's a little sad, actually.
Well, we had a good conversation about that. And that's, I think, the reason we're talking about this program. This is a financial program. Hanson McLean's Money Matters is a financial program. But so many people talk to us about wanting to save for retirement and planning on retiring, which is great. Which it's just important that we have some plan for what happens once we reach that
finish line. What happens when you get to
there? I was talking with a client a few months ago. This is before Christmas time. I'm going to disguise some of the things, but married individual, an executive of a smaller company, couple hundred employees, CEO, a couple hundred employee company, obviously a hard worker. Good saver, had plenty of financial assets. I said, when do you think you're going to retire? They said, probably 4 years. So we went through the numbers again. And
Were they fine?
Yeah, totally. I mean, more than fine. I mean, great shape financially. Could have retired today. But I said, so let's pretend like you retired today. Today's your first day in retirement. What's retirement look like?
Wow.
And she says,
had she thought about it?
She said, I hadn't really given it much thought. I hadn't thought, and about 2 weeks later, I get an email and says, Scott.
Why do you ask me such personal questions?
just deal with the finance, dang it.
Why are you interested?
That's not your stupid business.
Why are you interested in me as a person?
She said, our conversation haunted me.
That's a pretty strong word.
I think that's what the word was. That's the impression I got out of the email. She said, I realize that I have a lot of work to do between now and retirement.
Or maybe she shouldn't retire at all.
Or maybe she shouldn't retire.
Right?
Or at least the age she was thinking of.
Yeah. Maybe the retirement isn't the best thing. Or maybe it's the partial thing.
And sometimes we're forced out of retirement. There's certain industries. You're a pilot.
You got to go.
Air traffic control.
Got to go.
Certain other professions.
Railroad industry. Got to go.
Railroad as well?
Yeah. Parts of the railroad. Yeah. They've got age limits. You can't.
Well, I guess if you're an engineer.
Yeah.
The one in charge of the
financial
train.
Advisor? None.
None. Matter of fact, I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine who was working with a family stockbroker. The guy was, I think, 92 or 94, in his 90s. And I said to my friend, I said, I mean, how's that working out for you? He says, well, he still seems like he's still sharp, still managing his money at 90 some odd years old. And I don't think it was because the stockbroker didn't plan for his own
future. It's just something that keep him busy.
I think that's something he enjoyed.
But that's the whole thing right now, which is that when you're going through this retirement process, the finances are part of it. They're part of it. But the people that retire best actually think about what their life looks like after retirement, after they're not required to go into the office. So there's two aspects of retirement that we spend a lot of time with clients. One is being retirement ready, whether you're planning on it or not. 58% of the people leave the workforce prior to the time they had planned. 58%.
One out of two.
Because of either health, their health, a spouse's health, a family member's health, or something that takes place in the job. Those people that financially are able to are more comfortable. Those people that are emotionally able to are happier. So you connect those two things together, the financial, which is being prepared, and emotionally. Now, the most important thing is, and we do these.
And it's not just emotion. I mean, it's really, I think it comes down to having purpose and meaning at that stage in your life.
And for what that means for you. But it's interesting when talking
and
with
money
clients,
itself, money by itself is not going to give you purpose nor meaning.
So we recently conducted a small focus group with a number of clients. And the thing that was most striking to me was how people actually plan for retirement. And what we found in these surveys were we saved. And about 7 to 5 years prior to the date we thought we were going to retire, we really dug in to make sure we were on the right track. We really adjusted the plan to make sure we were on the right track. Some people did it 10 years prior to retirement, and some people actually did it 5 years or 2 years or even 2 weeks before. But they went through a process in better to understand what their retirement would look like financially. And that helps us informing the processes that we use with our clients called the 7 personal decision points.
Yeah, we use a process, the 7 personal decision points for retirement transition, that goes through the 7 steps that one must consider from the finances prior to retirement. And matter of fact, we've got an ebook at our website at moneymatters.com. If you go to moneymatters.com, and you look for our ebook, the 7 personal decision points ebook, and it'll kind of walk through those processes. And we do find, Pat, for most people, it doesn't happen by accident.
No.
Financial independence does not happen by accident.
It's hard work.
Yes, it's savings. And as we get closer to retirement, that's where it's really important, because particularly if you're a couple years away from retirement, now's not the time to be making big mistakes.
No, it is not the time.
It is not the time to be making big mistakes.
It's not the time to be making big bets. It's not the time to be investing in something that is illiquid or isn't traded or you don't understand.
But if you're at that retirement stage, it's important that you're retirement ready. So work is an option and not an obligation, because like Pat was saying, we never know when our last day is going to be at our employer, when our job's going to be over. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you want to join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON will get you on the show. Again, that's 1-888-242-6766. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. To Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Two guys, two brains, and one head of hair.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
I'm the guy with one, with no hair, by the way. What is that? Two guys.
One head of hair. That's me.
That would be you.
If you want to join the show, 888.
You know, I can really tell when I don't have, because this we do this radio program, but we do it in our studio here, our Hanson McLean Studios. And it's also, we videotape it. Is that what you call it? There's cameras all over.
I don't think it's videotape. It's
okay, it's not a tape.
It's not actually tape.
Video.
It's recorded in some form or fashion.
It's digitally recorded, a video digitally recorded. And you can find it. You can watch it on our website, moneymatters.com. And so when I look, we mentioned something, I'm like, I really am bald. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror and you just...
It's all right. It's okay. You're not going to do anything about it. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON, 888-242-6766, or you can go to our website, moneymatters.com. We're going to talk to Phil in Northern California. Phil, thanks for joining us.
Hi, sirs. How are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you doing, Phil?
Good. I'm on a speakerphone, so hopefully you can hear me okay. If not, I'll take it off.
It would be best if you could take it off.
Yeah, that'd be best if you could take it off the speakerphone.
Okay, you can do that.
Thank you.
Okay, got it.
Perfect. All right, thank you, Phil.
So what can we do for you?
Okay, so my question is, I have, you know, my thing is real estate, and I've done okay in real estate. I have some rentals and stuff like that. But I also have some money in, I put the money into Schwab recently.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that every quarter they're charging $1,000 a quarter with a managed fund. So my question is, when do I not want to put it in a managed fund and just have a advisor do it for me? I'm losing $1,000 a month. Not only that, I have lost since I put it in a year and a half ago. I'm down about $25,000.
How much money did you put in?
But well, they said to be managed, I have to have $500,000.
Okay, so you're paying an advisory fee, it sounds like.
You're paying already an advisor to manage that money. That's what you're paying for.
Right.
And sounds like you're – so is there an individual at Charles Schwab that you've worked with on this, or?
Well, the individual that got me in, and then I get direct contact from Schwab out of – I believe it's out of Denver.
Really? Was there any financial planning that went with this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did – financial planning, they did the allocations and all that.
Now, did they ask you about your real estate? Did they give any tax or estate planning? Did they refer you to an attorney to look at any particular situation? Or did they say, you know, you may want to consider this or this or this?
No.
So what they did was an asset allocation when they said, hey, Phil, this is probably how the money should be allocated.
Right.
So there's a few different ways you can invest, right? So you could say, look, Schwab, I don't want to pay your fee. I'll just pick my own investments. Thank you very much. And Schwab will be happy to help you in that manner.
Not as happy as if you pay
that's
them.
Okay.
This fee. They'll be semi-happy, but not nearly as happy. If you.
I don't think Chuck's going to notice the difference.
Well, I think that Chuck probably thought of the idea of charging
you. Kidding aside. So you can... put your own allocation together, and if that's something you're comfortable with and confident in doing, you can put your own allocation together and then monitor things and make changes as needed. That you can do that very low cost. You can do it very low cost at Charles Schwab. Okay. Then if you think, well, I could probably benefit by having some professional advice there. And the fact is it's been a rough market as of late, right? So if you're trying to find somebody who's going to make you money in any market, that person, that firm doesn't exist. You can find someone who'll tell you that, and you can take on a lot more risk with your money and be in a position where you can lose a whole lot, which is probably not what you want to do. So if you want to have some professional allocation, you're going to pay something. You can find – it sounds to me like you're on some sort of autopilot here where it's just a call center somewhere. There are lower cost options than what you're paying for this, that you could do at other firms. Even Schwab might have a lower cost option for you. But at the rate you're at, you're really almost at a point where you can pay for a good quality financial advice.
Yeah.
Where you work with a financial planner.
Where you actually meet with the person and they actually give you advice.
Not
as
just,
well as the
not
asset
just,
allocation.
Yeah. Okay, so it's obviously we've got our view of the world is that people do best when their money's managed in conjunction with an overall financial plan. And when I mean plan, I don't mean like a big binder that sits on a bookshelf somewhere. I mean, what is Phil trying to accomplish in life? What's the kind of income needs we need today? What's the long-term plan? What happens when Phil's no longer here? What's going to happen with the dollars there? How do we structure things in such a manner today to minimize taxes both today and in the future? What would happen if we have market declines, and how might that impact Phil's life, and we need income from some other sources? It's just really looking at all those things. And a good financial planning person takes those things into consideration. Yes, they charge to manage the assets, but you get all those other services that it doesn't sound like you're getting.
And what you're actually, Phil, is you might have been looking for that when you actually decided to pay this person in the first place.
Right. Well, actually, I didn't realize the $1,000 per quarter until recently, and I was told that there was no management fees, but I might have misunderstood them. Maybe they said there was no fees to get in.
So I recently asked him, I said, why should I be paying you $1,000 a quarter and losing money on top of
well,
that?
Well, that's a different issue. The biggest concern is that you didn't actually know you were paying them.
Well, and they might have that. That is a big issue, frankly.
But that may be just a misunderstanding between you and them.
And I don't want to pick on Charles Schwab's firm here for a minute. Let's just talk about a lot of these firms in general. There was a time when some of these firms were really centered around working with people like self-service, right? It's low cost, low fee, not a lot of frills. Allow the investors to make their choices, low cost. But some of these firms have changed over the years where they look at each client and they say, how can we maximize our revenue off this? And they so much so that they'll compensate the broker who's at the branches, their compensation's based upon how much they can take someone like Phil's money from a non-revenue account.
Which means a non-fee billing account.
Yeah, to where now we're charging fees on it. So,
which is fine. You don't know what you want, actually, Phil. And if you're comfortable managing your own money, if you're comfortable putting the asset allocation together, then do it.
Yeah, there's no such thing as free. Everything has some fees involved. Even Schwab's low cost, there's no such thing as a freelance, right?
So if you're comfortable doing that, then say, hey, cancel the fee on this thing. I'm going to allocate my own dollars. Whether that's good for you or not, I don't know you well, Phil. So I don't know whether you understand the difference between a stock and a bond or large cap, mid cap, small cap, growth, value, price to earnings, balance sheets. I don't know anything about whether you understand that or not or whether that's appropriate.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that stuff, but I don't have time. I don't really want to manage my
money. So for what I would do that, so I would do one of two things. Either tell them to lower your fee or move it to a firm that has lower fees. There's other online options with lower fees. There's other firms with lower fees. Or if you think, I think I'd rather have an individual that I can work with than find an independent advisory firm. There's independent advisory firms like Hanson McLean. I'm not just trying to sell our services, but Hanson McLean, other firms, they will act as advisors and use Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Pershing. Large companies like this, they'll use Charles Schwab. We have clients that have accounts at Charles Schwab.
Where we act as the manager of the money.
But usually with that, you're going to have, there's a lot of firms that you're going to get much further breadth of advice than what it sounds like you're receiving from here.
Yes. Well, that's obvious.
I think my expectations were way too high when I thought they were going to manage my funds. And I got confused, I guess, because maybe I'm confused the difference between an advisor, a broker, and a manager.
Good question.
And having a managed fund.
Well, the funny, I shouldn't say that is it's a shame because stockbrokers now, they all call themselves financial advisors. Everyone's a financial advisor.
But no financial advisors are calling themselves stockbrokers.
So our firms like our firms were independent, registered investment advisors, fiduciaries, certified financial planners. That's a lot thrown out there, right? But if it were me, I would look for someone that's going to do much more in-depth planning
for what you're paying for.
And answer lots of different financial questions. You should be able to answer all kinds of questions on your rentals and everything else for what you're paying.
Right.
Any financial question you've got.
Where are you guys located in the Sacramento area?
Well, we've got
in every market we're in, we have either multiple offices or multiple meeting locations.
Yeah, we've got a service advice anywhere. But again, this program is really not about pitching our firm. You can always go to our website at HansonMcLean.com or our educational academy. As a matter of fact, if you want to kind of learn more about the difference between advisors and that sort of thing, I encourage you to go to our Money Matters Academy. There's all kinds of great information there at moneymatters.com. And you can listen to an ad that comes up at the break. We usually have ads run that do promote our firm. And obviously, we got thousands of clients we work with and would love the opportunity to work with you. But this isn't about us. This is about you. We're out of time. Stick around for more Hanson McLean.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Can't always catch Money Matters on the radio each week? Get a podcast of the show delivered to your device every week. Visit moneymatters.com. Now back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
And yes, you can get a podcast. We've got, I get how many thousands of people subscribed.
I was surprised. The marketing people told us how many people.
I forget.
It was a lot.
A lot of people.
I was surprised. I was surprised. I actually...
It's not hard to do. You just go to iTunes. There's a link at moneymatters.com you could do. But if you also, you just go to iTunes and search Hanson McClain. You got to search Hanson McClain.
Yeah,
Money Matters.
Yeah, not Money Matters. Hanson McClain. And sign up, and then somehow magically it gets delivered to you.
It's magic. Oh, it all kind of is magic, isn't it?
It is actually really kind of magic.
I look at my iPhone.
Yeah.
When I look at the price of a gigawatt of storage, the price has come down 99% over the last 20 years or something like that. Gigabyte. Thanks,
what
John. I'm being laughed at. Look at my producer in there. Look, he's thinking I'm like an idiot.
How old is he?
Are you 28, John? John, a 28-year-old producer, yeah, John. He's brilliant behind the, and you know what a gigabyte or gigawatt is. What's the difference to me?
Anyway,
watt, byte, it's all the same. I'm being real transparent and honest here. Do you understand how your iPhone works? Could you reverse engineer this thing?
If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON.
Oh, it's so nice. When I was a kid, I'd take apart like an old radio.
Is this a long
life
story?
Like little tubes from the television set? You get the tube you got to get the tube,
then
go down to radio show.
And then 9-volt battery and lick it. 888-2-HANSON.
John didn't even know what we're talking about with the tubes and the television. Do you know what we're talking about? The tubes, we'd have to go to Radio Shack and get the tubes.
Remember the tubes.
Because the tube would go out.
Yeah, the tube
in
went
the back,
out.
You'd go in the
and
back.
And then you'd actually shake the tubes. Do you remember shaking the tubes? 888-2-HANSON. 888-242-6766 if you'd like to join the show.
Millennial with his 2-day worth of scrub and his multicolored socks.
Or you could join us at moneymatters.com, moneymatters.com. And as Scott started to explain, you could... go to iTunes and subscribe to Hanson McClain's download.
And we better take
of this weekly
888-2-HANSON to join the program here.
Or moneymatters.com.
1-888-2-HANSON will get you on the program. We're talking with Dave. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
You're with Hanson McClain. How can we help?
Well, I got a question for you. I've been the classic invest and forget kind of guy. Until now, I got to start paying more attention.
You're in the classic what? I've missed that.
Invest and forget.
Okay.
And so I have a 401k, a Wells Fargo 401k. And a year or so ago, I pushed the radio button allowing me to auto balance.
Okay.
So I've been wondering, is that really cost effective? Is it costing me more than it's benefiting me? What's going on here?
Got it. And is it a third party that's actually doing the auto balance?
No, I think it's direct.
Okay.
What is it costing you for the auto balance?
Well, see, that's another thing. I talked to them today, and they say, nothing, but it does affect your yield. So, it's costing me something.
Nah, it may not.
It probably not.
It probably isn't costing you anything. So,
did you retire from Wells Fargo, or is Wells Fargo the custodian for this account?
I was employed with them, and now I'm not. With somebody else now, but I left the 401k with them.
In their 401k. So this auto balance probably isn't costing you anything.
It's probably well worth it.
And they're not using a third party.
Right. Well, it happens quarterly.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm just wondering, you're having to, buy and sell and transfer. It's got to be.
You'd see it. You'd see it. So here's what the danger is in some of the they call them lifestyle.
Well, this is just if you allocate 20% here and 15% there and 10% there,
you pick
every quarter they go back and make sure those balances are in line. Is that correct?
Exactly.
And you picked the original allocation.
Yes, I did.
Well, the question is the balance is right. Whether it should be done quarterly or not, I mean, firms like ours, we use certain bands, so when it doesn't necessarily happen, it's looked at on a daily basis, and we do a rebalance when it's appropriate and when it's necessary.
And it may not be the whole portfolio.
Sometimes it might be on a quarterly basis, might be longer. It may not be the whole portfolio.
The biggest question was the original allocation correct?
Yeah.
Right?
That's questionable. I mean, I try to listen up and get it balanced right. Bonds, for instance, are at 19% of the portfolio. Oh,
keep talking.
Domestic stocks at 55%. International stock 8%. There's some company stock at 10% and target to maturity at 8%. So.
Well, I'm impressed that you know that.
Yeah. So, the target to maturity usually that's either all or nothing type thing. So unless there was some asset class that was in there that you couldn't get otherwise, that would be the only thing I'd question. That and why you have 10% in company stock.
Yeah, well, it's just, I don't know.
But it's not a big enough, you know, difference that it's scary to me. I don't know if I would arrange mine exactly like this, but if you're comfortable with it and you feel comfortable making the decision.
The right decision is the one that's right, that works for you.
The auto balance thing is absolutely a great idea.
And I tell you what, Dave, sometimes sometimes invest and forget works well. You're not really forgetting here. It's being rebalanced, which is appropriate. Whether it needs to be done quarterly, maybe a little too frequently. But if they're not charging you, who cares? Great, it's getting rebalanced. But if you look at studies, you look at how investors do over – Morningstar did a study a couple years ago, how an investor does over a 20-year period of time. And I forget the exact numbers, but let's say a diversified portfolio did 10%. The average investor did like 2.1% or something. It was that dramatic difference. And the reason is so many individual investors are chasing returns and they're moving money from one investment to another investment at the worst times. So they look at their 401k statement and they say, wow, look at this one fund. This did 19% the last year. And this other fund it lost 3%. So the one that lost must be bad. And the one that did a lot must be good. Maybe I should get rid of my bad one, the low performer, and buy the good one, the high performer, which is probably the opposite of what they should be doing.
But
right?
The auto rebalance that protects you from that, because what it's doing is, let's say there was a huge run up on your equity portion of the portfolio, it's actually selling that and buying things that didn't do as well. So as long
by its nature, it forces you, the rebalance will sell when things are higher and buy things when they're lower. That's exactly what it does.
So it's
autopilot.
Yeah. There's nothing. Yeah. And you didn't invest and forget. You actually understand what you're doing. You actually have an allocation that I don't 100% agree with.
It's okay.
But it's in my book, I'm not worried about it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, we're not going to be talking about Dave once this call's over. Let's put it that way. You're fine.
All right.
Can you believe Dave? we're not going to say anything about that.
Good luck,
that,
Dave.
So
you know what? I tell
call.
You what. And now, Pat, there are times we're not going to be talking about you. It's like, wow, that's kind of an interesting approach. We look at each other. Oh my God.
No,
what were they thinking?
It's the reality. Is it some calls you get and we look at each other afterwards and we're like,
we want to treat people with dignity and respect and then we'll make fun of them behind their back.
No, not that, isn't it? You just say, I hope that works out. And there's plenty of calls where you go, wow, I hope that works out.
And you're thinking, whoa.
Or I hope that person takes
our advice. You can't come live at me one day. So.
Or I hope that person takes our advice. Or well, you're fine, right? But he's fine. You're fine. He's fine.
And truly, the right kind of investment is the type of investment that works for you. I mean, at Hanson McLean, with our thousands of clients, we obviously have opinions. We have certain ways that we structure investments. Do we think it's preferable to others? Yes, but we're obviously a little biased there. But what's important is that someone has a strategy and sticks with that strategy. And a strategy is not, I'm gonna try to time the markets and I'm gonna shift out of emerging markets when I think it's not a good time to be in emerging markets, and I'm gonna buy U.S. equities when I think it's a good time, and I'm gonna short the market because I think the market's gonna fall. That's not a strategy. But if you've got a strategy that says I'm gonna have a diversified portfolio with proper allocation and I'm gonna rebalance that on a periodic basis, that's a strategy. Now, whether I forget the exact percentage, whether it's 52% and or 45%.
55% in stock? Or?
Look, the fact is, if the market falls 50%, like we saw twice happen in the last decade and a half,
not going to make much difference.
Whether you have 55% in equities or 45% equities is not going to make that much difference. It's going to feel horrible regardless.
If the market goes up by 50%, it's going to make but the auto rebalance actually fixes a lot of problems. We don't use an auto rebalance
because we think there's a better way, but this is pretty good.
It's a solid C plus B minus.
By the way, Vanguard did a great study on showing really does it make sense to hire an advisor? And the value an advisor can bring. So you got Dave. I think his question was: does it make sense to pay the fees? Right. Vanguard's got a study that shows if you've got a quality advisor that does a number of these things, it could add up to 3 percentage points a year in value if you've got an advisor that does all these things. I'd encourage you to check out that study. Matter of fact, you can find the study at moneymatters.com. Moneymatters.com. And if you just look at the little keyword search up on the right hand corner and look at
keyword.
Advisor, I don't know what you search for. Just like you search on Google, however you search. And I start thinking about it. I don't know.
Vanguard. It's a Vanguard study.
Can you? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I don't know if you
go to our website, moneymatters.com. Yeah. Spend a couple hours looking for that article.
Good luck.
There's so much material you got to wade through there.
And there's no organization whatsoever.
Oh, it's just throw it up there.
No. There is some organization to it. Our Money Matters Education Academy.
We have a person that organizes it all day long. Website
has a lot of good stuff at Money Matters Academy. So make sure you go to Money Matters. Anyway, if you want to join the program, you'd like to call us and be on the show here. Our contact number is 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Taking the financially complex and making it simple, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-242-6766. And it's Hanson McLean. And I got this question from my college-age son. His friend said, why was it named Hanson McLean and not McLean Hanson? And I went back to the whole philosophy of we flipped a coin, and that's how we got the name. So that was a lot of time and energy put into
that's
that.
That's how you remember it, Pat. That is good.
888-2-HANSON or go to moneymatters.com. We're going to go right
by
to
the way, by Hanson McLean is not just Mr. Hanson and Mr. McLean. Our organization, we've got a couple dozen advisors and 70-some-odd employees and 20-some-odd years of experience, thousands of families that we work with, more than just Hanson.
Barron's 100.
Huh? Barron's ranked advisors.
100.
Both in the top 100, whatever top 100. That means. We've been ranking a lot of veterinarians.
Yeah, but
anyway. Well, we want to start bragging about ourselves. So I can go on and on.
Listen. I'm going to talk to Jennifer. Jennifer, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Hi there.
Good. Thanks,
hi, Jennifer.
Hi there, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. This has been really a heartfelt issue for my family and myself. Basically, I'll get right to it because it's going to be lengthy and I really don't understand how it works, but we have a universal life policy. I take care of my aunt's stuff, her financial stuff. And my brother and I are the power of attorney and all that. And we've run across this policy. It's a universal life policy that basically, I think she outlived her term. She, I think, took a loan out on it, on the benefit years ago to buy an annuity, which is great, unfortunately, and it has been paying for itself all these years, but I think she outlived her term.
Okay, so tell us, how old is your aunt?
She's 89 years old.
Okay, and how's her health?
She has Alzheimer's. Her health is perfect, except her mind is gone. So she doesn't remember what she did with any of this.
Okay, and how big is the life insurance policy?
Well, it's a $500,000 loan $150,000 death benefit, a $50,000 cash left, and a $95,000 premiums paid. The death benefit is $200,000.
All right. Let's stop for a second, Jennifer. Step back for a second and go through those numbers, because one of the things that you threw out there was the $500,000 loan.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't sound right to us. So let's walk through this again.
It's a $30,000 a year interest payment that has been coming out of the cash value of her loan value each year. She stopped paying that when she became confused. I think she had planned on this. I think her financial planner had dealt with this and got her into this annuity. And I think she outlived the term. Basically, it's paying for itself. And it has three more years because the cash value is paying this interest on the loan.
Yeah, before it collapses.
How much is in the annuity? Is there an annuity as well? Sounds like they took a loan out to buy an annuity.
The annuity.
She has plenty of annuities that are paying for her care now. This is a life insurance policy.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we worry about. It might make sense to let this thing collapse, and it may not.
Okay. Good.
It might have huge tax ramifications in letting this thing collapse, because
it's a $60,000 tax ramification if we let it collapse.
How much?
$60,000. Approximately.
Is that the gain or what you'll have to pay in taxes? Which one is that?
From what we would have to pay in taxes.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. So tell me about the rest of her financial situation.
Okay. She makes approximately, in all of her annuity dividends and stocks and things, she has an income of about $5,000 between she and her sister, who I take care of them financially with the money that they have coming in.
Okay.
How much is the death benefit on the life insurance if she died today?
If she died today, it'd be about $900,000. The loan is like $600,000, and
so $300,000.
And the cash value is what?
The cash value, which is paying for this $30,000 interest payment, is about $119,000 right now.
Oh,
so
got it.
From what we understand, we have about three more years.
Okay. So
You don't have to do anything for 3 years.
Yeah, or you might be better off just surrendering it.
No, because it's $900,000 death benefit. Less $100,000 cash value. That's the $500,000 loan, right?
But if the policy collapses,
but there's $300,000. If she died today, there's $300,000.
Understand? But if it runs out of cash in the next 3 years, because they're using the cash value, Scott.
You don't want to let it run out,
right?
Cash. You do not want to let it run out.
If you let the thing run out of cash, you've lost that cash value left there,
and
you
the
have
tax.
The tax liability. So,
right. Exactly.
Are there assets to pay?
So you told us what income was. Tell us about her assets. How much money does she have, and where is it?
Okay, she has what is keeping her. She's got some things that she can cash out.
Tell us what those are.
Okay, she has some annuities.
How much?
A couple of them have termed out where they just die when she dies. They're continuing to
monthly annuities.
Okay, those can turn into anything. So what could she turn into cash? How much money? If she turned everything she had into cash, how much money would be there?
Okay, most of her policies she can turn in without issue.
Yeah, how much?
And I thought it was, $100,000 maybe.
Okay.
$60,000 maybe. I could probably
cash out. Is that it?
Well, she has property also.
How much is the value of the property? How much is the value of the property?
Oh, $1 million. $1 million. We were thinking about doing a reverse mortgage on the property.
This is really, really difficult.
Yeah, I know.
This is really...
it's a mess.
Let me tell you why it's difficult. Is because she's 89. And you don't know if her life expectancy is 1 year?
Exactly.
Or 9 years.
And we don't want her to die.
Or 10 years.
Well, I know. But she's going to die one day. We're all going to die one day, right?
So we get that.
We're trying to...
So you start down a path, and the question is, do you let the thing... If you surrendered it today... Listen, if you surrender it today, you have cash value, correct?
Right. If we surrender it today, we pay $60,000.
I'm
pretty sure.
And the cash value is how much?
$119,000.
At this point,
exactly. No. So you walk away with $60,000 cash. Or
we pay $60,000.
Yeah, but
oh,
then,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, you're right.
Or you pay $30,000 a year in exchange for it's $30,000 where it's coming out of cash or not. For there's roughly, sounds like from these numbers, there's $200,000 of pure death benefit, just shy of $200,000 of pure death benefit.
Something like that, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
yes.
There's, right. So it's basically, if you strip everything else out, the tax thing, you're paying $30,000 a year for a life, for a $200,000 life insurance on an 89-year-old woman with Alzheimer's.
That's right.
Right, if we just strip it out.
If that's what... But she doesn't have any other assets, so why take the risk? And you want to? You could do a reverse mortgage, but you might have to do a reverse mortgage anyway to keep her in the house.
Yes, that's true.
I go with the sure thing, Scott. I surrender the contract. Call today. Pay the taxes.
Were there any? You think this contract has any commercial value? You think anyone would pay anything for this contract?
Oh, I don't think there's enough cash in it to even go through that process. So what we're talking about. What we're talking about is
selling this.
You could sell these contracts, and
I would look at that before I surrender.
I wouldn't. It's such a pain in the butt, and she has Alzheimer's. The mother, the insured does.
So now it's here's the hard thing about this.
We're only
going to know the right decision when your aunt passes away.
Correct. So now everything has got to do with risk mitigation, and what's the right thing for your aunt. So. You could sell this contract.
Right.
You could sell this contract.
No one's bringing it.
But it
have to do with some medical background on her.
It's not a big enough investment. If it was a $2 million contract, it'd be worth going through the hassle. So
because it's a $200,000 death benefit and the interest is $30,000. There's probably a premium on top of that.
Correct. So they might end up chasing this thing. If
this is your aunt, Pat,
we surrender the contract. We pay the taxes. We call it a day.
If this is my aunt,
okay.
If I'm thinking the same thing, my aunt's got $5,000 a month income coming, another $100,000 somewhere else, a home paid for. All I care about is making sure my aunt's got the best quality of life, she's in otherwise health. I think I'd probably cancel it.
Cancel the contract, and not only that, it's causing angst for you. And you said your sister are taking care of both your aunt,
my brother.
So. So what you want to do is just cancel the contract, surrender it, pay the tax liability, and then decide in the future if you're going to keep them in the home they're at, that whether you should do a reverse mortgage or sell the property when they go into. Are they in a long-term care facility, both?
No, they live at home. We have a caregiver for them.
Okay, and you might end up doing a reverse mortgage, and God bless you. It's their money. It's their life. You've been given... the responsibility of overseeing it, and God bless you for that. And thank you for calling and actually make the decision and move on. And it was the right decision to make. Surrender the contract.
Yeah, and we will know the right answer when she end up passes away.
Yeah, this is the right answer. This is the right.
Well,
answer.
if we both look at it and say if it was our aunt, we would both cancel the contract. Yeah. That's the right answer, I suppose.
And it is the question for the rest of the listeners. That was complicated.
Yeah. We're up against the clock here. We are here every weekend at this time. You could also get a podcast of this program. I encourage you to get our podcast. Go to moneymatters.com and we'll get you the podcast of this program delivered to iTunes each and every week. And if you're a podcast subscriber, make sure you give us good ratings there on iTunes. And enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.